Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 14 called The Riddle of Samson.
I just want to just reset this just for a second. So I want you to see the parallel between Samson and the nation of Israel. And then we're going to make a personal application. But Pastor Michael needs to get going because here we are at 8 o'clock and I just set the table. Samson's name means distinguished or awe-inspiring. His name may be derived from the Hebrew semes, which means son. Some say that you could call Samson sonny. Now, Samson's name is interesting because it may be connected to the sun god. There are some scholars that believe that Samson's name connects him to a pagan god and that was the beginning of the compromise even found in his parents. I don't know if there's a good case to be made for that because you could see that Manoah and his wife honored the Lord. When the angel of the Lord came, they wanted to, you know, visit with him again and they offered sacrifice and so forth. So I don't know if that's good, but Samson's name in some ways connected to the sun. If you take a positive view of it, it may be that Samson's name means something like the power of God's strength or something like that, as we often see as the sun is shining. Samson went down to Timnah, Judges 14:1, and saw a woman. Saw a woman is the same language in 2 Samuel 11:2 when David saw Bathsheba bathing and he said, get her for me, right? He saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, the Philistines were the people group that he was supposed to eradicate from oppressing the people of Israel. You can note the words, he went down, kind of an interesting word to think about. So he went down, he saw a woman, and he came back and he told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised? That would be someone outside the covenant of Israel. The uncircumcised Philistines, but Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. Sometimes you read this, you think Samson may have spoken this way. Samson, see woman. Samson, want wife. Mom and dad, get woman for Samson. Right? Don't know if that's how Samson talked, and I don't think Samson was a dumb, you know, Mongol, you know, move tree or something like that. Anyway. But his language, she looks good to me. In verse 3, in the New King James, it says, she pleases me well. The NIV says, she's the right one for me. Sounds like a song, a love song from the 70s. Literally, she's right in my eyes. She looks good. I want her. I want her. I want her. Now, the problem with Samson's approach is not that he finds a woman attractive or even wants to marry a woman. There's a couple problems. One, he shouldn't be marrying outside of Israel. There are plenty of scriptures that support that, that intermarriage was a way that kind of muddied things. And often, like Solomon, if he married a foreign wife, she would turn his heart away from the living God. So, you know, we are to marry those who are in the Lord. Let me just say that. I think it's obvious, but sometimes I wonder if Christians really realize that, or they realize it until they say, she looks good. Well, what's her spiritual life like? I don't know. She looked good. Get her for me. You know, all of a sudden we turn into Samson, right? So all of your senses should not go out the window just because someone looks good to you, right? There are other considerations. Like, for example, beauty is important, perhaps, but it doesn't last. Beauty on the inside is what the Lord's most concerned about. He doesn't look at the exterior. He looks at the heart. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be attracted to someone, because obviously attraction is an important thing. But I'm saying attraction is not the only thing in this equation. And if you feel chemistry with a person or you like the way they look, that could be a start. But you may want to ask a few questions, and you may want to hear them speak. And you may want to find out, you know, about their family and about their foundation. Amen? Here's what Samson didn't do. One, he went outside of the covenant community. Two, in that time, you were supposed to let your mom and dad, your dad and mom, set up the marriage. The two dads would typically talk, and they would arrange it, and they would agree on a dowry. Samson doesn't do that. He steps on the honor of his parents. He doesn't honor his father and his mother. Now, this sounds really old school. How many of you saw the movie A Million Miles Away? It's about the migrant worker who becomes an astronaut. It's a great movie. In that movie, he goes to meet his prospective bride's family. It's pretty funny. They just sit there and just stare at him the whole time. As he waits for the father to come home, they're just looking at him, and he's visibly uncomfortable. But there's a certain value to a father being introduced to a prospective suitor for his daughter. It's an ideal time to clean your shotgun. And anyway. So Samson gets things out of order. And I want you to think about the nation of Israel now. When they went into the promised land, they were enamored with the foreigners. They didn't eradicate all of them. They intermarried. They compromised with their gods. And what happened to Israel? It hurt them. And in some cases, it ruined them. So when God tells you something, he's telling you it for a reason, not because he wants to ruin your fun, but he wants you not to have a bunch of heartache for years to come. And I could line up people who would tell you stories about heartache for years that they've dealt with because the foundation wasn't there. So Samson has a pattern of doing this kind of thing. Flip over to Judges 16, look at verse 1. Samson heads over to Gaza. That's an area that's been talked about a lot lately, right? Samson went to Gaza, 16:1, saw a prostitute or harlot there. And what did he do? He went into her. He slept with her. Look at verse 4. After this it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Now it says he loved this lady, and her name was Delilah. We'll come back to that story, but Delilah seems to be the woman that he really loved. Samson apparently wanted to marry and settle down. The evidence is strong that even Delilah is a Philistine. But Samson, he will make all these moves, doing things out of order. And we have to ask the question, why does he keep doing that? Verse 4, chapter 14. However, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord. What was of the Lord that Samson saw this Philistine woman and was attracted to her? That's the context. For he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. How is the Lord involved in a fleshly, defiant decision from Samson? Well, if the Lord wants to get his will done, he can exploit whatever he wants to exploit. Amen? Now, I don't think that the Lord put it in Samson, but I think the Lord would exploit Samson's fleshly desires. And he can do that because that's who God is. I think that's part of the majesty of our God. Listen to one commentator. He says, the phrase, "it was of the Lord," does not imply that Yahweh incited Samson's sexual desire for the Timnite, that he stimulates romance and raging hormones as a prelude to slaughter, or even that Yahweh itches for a fight, as one commentator put it. Rather, it suggests that Yahweh may use even those who are controlled by carnal self-will to advance his work for his higher purpose. Here's one of the great theological themes of the Samson story. Quoting, God takes a bully boy and a muscle man bent on the gratification of his own drives and instincts and makes him the instrument of a nation's defense and rescue, as well as authenticating the divinity's power of salvation. And therefore, his right to be regarded as the true God in contrast to the false claimants like Dagon, close quote. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand." And so ultimately, God will use even the waywardness of Samson to achieve his divine purposes.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey there, are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder. You can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk or maybe you're doing the dishes. Anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God, Pastor Michael and the entire Walk in Truth team is here for you. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple Podcast app, or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded.
Feeling overwhelmed, in need of prayer, counsel, or just someone to listen? Look no further than Walk in Truth. Our compassionate team of pastors is here for you. Whether you need guidance, a prayer partner, or simply a friendly ear, we are ready to support you. Call Walk in Truth at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Our dedicated pastors are available to speak with you every Tuesday through Friday during normal business hours. Remember, you don't have to face life's challenges alone. Reach out to Walk in Truth at 844-48-TRUTH. 844-48-TRUTH. We're here to listen, support, and guide you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
He will make all these moves, doing things out of order, and we have to ask the question, why does he keep doing that? Verse 4, chapter 14. However, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord. What was of the Lord? That Samson saw this Philistine woman and was attracted to her. That's the context. For he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. How is the Lord involved in a fleshly, defiant decision from Samson? Well, if the Lord wants to get his will done, he can exploit whatever he wants to exploit. Amen? Now, I don't think that the Lord put it in Samson, but I think the Lord would exploit Samson's fleshly desires. And he can do that because that's who God is. I think that's part of the majesty of our God. Listen to one commentator. He says, the phrase, "it was of the Lord," does not imply that Yahweh incited Samson's sexual desire for the Timnite, that he stimulates romance and raging hormones as a prelude to slaughter, or even that Yahweh itches for a fight, as one commentator put it. Rather, it suggests that Yahweh may use even those who are controlled by carnal self-will to advance his work for his higher purpose. Here's one of the great theological themes of the Samson story. Quoting, "God takes a bully boy and a muscle man bent on the gratification of his own drives and instincts and makes him the instrument of a nation's defense and rescue, as well as authenticating the divinity's power of salvation. And therefore, his right to be regarded as the true God in contrast to the false claimants like Dagon, close quote. Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. And so ultimately, God will use even the waywardness of Samson to achieve his divine purposes. And that is part of the majesty of our God. So Samson went down, verse 5, chapter 14, to Timnah with his father and his mother. Now he's going to try to, you know, follow through on liking this girl and wanting to marry her. And he came as far as the vineyards of Timnah, 14:5. And behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. Now, the fact that Samson is near a vineyard is interesting because a vineyard grows grapes for wine production, etc. Should he be near a vineyard? Probably not. His mom and dad are not there. They've somehow separated from him. And this young lion comes a-roaring. He's between 2 to 3.5 years old. He might have been somehow booted out of the pride of the lions, and that's why he's by a vineyard. And they say that this would be one of the scariest aggressive animals that you would ever encounter in the wild like this or anywhere, is to have a young roaring lion square off with you, right? And now here's Samson, and he's by the vineyard, and there's this roaroring lion. It reminds me of 1 Peter 5:8. The devil prowls about as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. How do we deal with spiritual warfare when the devil comes a roaring? We put on the armor of God, right? And then we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's not literally a roaring lion, but you get the point. And you can imagine there's, you know, this man, Samson. And notice what happens. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily so that he tore him, the lion, as one tears a kid. I don't even think that would be easy, but that would be like a little baby goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, and he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. The lion came a-roaring, and Samson took him by the scruff of the beard and tore him to pieces. Oh, yeah? You think you can roar? I'll roar back at you. And, you know, fur was flying, and down goes lion. And it was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. We're going to see this ahead of us as well. You can write down chapter 14, verse 19, and chapter 15, verse 14. Each time Samson has the Spirit of God come upon him mightily, it's always for a feat of strength in a moment of battle or war. And this is an interesting study in and of itself, and we won't go there tonight, but the study of how the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. And it would appear in most of the accounts that we see, the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody for a moment. In the book of Judges, it's for war every time. Some examples are Othniel, Jephthah. I think those are the two that come to mind right now. And in both cases, it was to fight a battle. The Spirit of Yahweh comes upon Samson every time, unbidden. That is, Samson doesn't pray for it. He doesn't cry out to God. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the living God just comes to him mightily, and then he's able to get something powerful done. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit mightily came upon something, often it was to speak the word of God or to battle in a literal war. For us, it is to also proclaim the word of God and also for spiritual warfare. Amen? So we have the Holy Spirit in the New Testament who lives inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I do think that there are times that the special anointing comes on us. We experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We might call that resurrection power. We might call it a special anointing in a moment. I often feel it when I'm preaching. Sometimes my cadence and my recollection of Bible verses and I literally feel like sometimes I become another man. In fact, I had someone who knows me pretty well say some years ago, sometimes when I hear you preaching, it's as though Michael weren't up there. And I say, praise the Lord if that's what happens. Because that's what we want. We want his power. We're simply just a jar of clay. Now, in 1 Samuel, the Holy Spirit came upon Saul. Let me just think we've got these verses for you for the sake of time. Let me read 1 Samuel 9:27. If you want to turn over there, it's pretty close by to your right. As they were going down to the edge of the city, Samuel said to Saul, say to the servant that he might go ahead of us and pass on, but you remain standing now, 1 Samuel 9:27, that I may proclaim the word of God to you, 10:1. Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on Saul's head, kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? 1 Samuel 10:5. Afterward, you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. It shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, lyre before them. And they will be prophesying, a bit of a traveling worship team here. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come mightily upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. And it shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what occasion requires, for God is with you. 1 Samuel 10:10. When they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. And it came about when all those who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that the people said to one another, what's happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? And Saul's story is one of anointing and blessing, and he became another man, and he was set apart because kings and priests were set apart and anointed with oil, and oil is a picture of what? The Holy Spirit's power in our life. And Saul, for a while, did okay until he didn't do okay. And he wouldn't obey the Lord. And finally, it says in 1 Samuel 16:13, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward, and Samuel went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord, by contrast, departed from Saul, and sadly, an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. And that scares Christians, right? Because we read that and we're like, oh no. And it was David in Psalm 51, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, that cried, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And in the new covenant, we have this promise that we're sealed to the day of redemption, that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom we have from God. Much more could be said about even David. David said when he was about to battle Goliath that he had torn a lion apart. David had the anointing of God on him. And every believer has the Holy Spirit right now. You do, my friend. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Amen? So, that power is there. Do we tap in? Do we know what it means to be filled, empowered? Some of the New Testament language is baptized. You know, do we have the power of God in our life?
Been listening to The Riddle of Samson, Part 2 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges, Chapter 14. If you missed any part of today's program, Walk in Truth is on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Listen for free to Pastor Michael's teachings in more books of the Bible. We would also love to hear from you. You can email Pastor Michael with your questions you may have from his teachings today, or maybe you have a question about something else, or need encouragement. Or prayer. Maybe you'd like to share how Pastor Michael's teachings have affected you. You can email Pastor Michael at contact@walkintruth.com. That's contact@walkintruth.com. You can also find our mailing address on walkintruth.com. And join us tomorrow for the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 14 called The Riddle of Samson.
And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon, one of five ancient cities of the Philistines on the Mediterranean coast. And he killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. So basically he said, oh yeah, all right, I'm going to Ashkelon to one of your cities. I'm going to kill a bunch of your people and take clothes from them and I'll pay you. And some scholars say, well, you got to see this as an act of war, not that just Samson, you know, held up a local store to pay off the debt. But he was designated by God to deal with Philistines. So
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.